السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه، ومن استن بسنته، ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب، أفلا تعقلون. واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين، الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأشج عبد القيس: إن فيك لخصلتين يحبهم الله، الحلم والأناة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, this is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mubarak occasion like the Jumu'ah and allowing us to gather is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A poet so nicely says, describing the scene of where a person is given the opportunity to be in the company of good people, to be in the company of good places at good moments. So he describes a bird that has no color, no texture, doesn't have any good looks. It's like an ordinary, sandy looking bird. It doesn't stand out in any way. And the bird is praising this garden that the bird finds itself in. So he mentions that the bird is saying, now in a poetic form, that Ted ba'd as-sabah, after all, wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teri meherbani. So what this bird is saying is that I don't have any qualities in me. Kaha me or kaha ye nikah digul. That what is me? What is myself? I don't have anything. Kaha me or kaha ye nikah digul. And look at this beautiful rose. It has such lovely fragrance. It has such lovely color. It has such lovely looks. Ba'de sabah teri meherbani. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all, it's only your favor and your kindness that you allowing me to be in the company of this rose. It's not something that I've got in me. So we should always think like that, that we don't have anything in us. But Allah Pak is allowing us to come to these Mubarak places at these Mubarak times, something that we have to be very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Anyway, a person as he's progressing in life, as he's progressing through the different moments of life, every time we got to see what is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are we and where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala improving all the time, or is this connection constant, or are we at a retrogression? Therefore, this dua that we are taught to make, such a beautiful dua: Allahumma ja'al khayra ayyamina awakhiraha. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the best days of our lives the last days of our life. Now, if a person has a constant progression, he's constantly improving himself, he's constantly improving the ta'alluq he has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes possible for the last days of his life to be the best days of his life. But if there is a constant retrogression, or there is no improvement in a person, then it's not possible for the last days of his life to be the best days of his life. So these different moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person, these different opportunities, these different capabilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, they are there to be utilized so that we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the architect of our whole deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the architect of our lives. Every single thing that happens is through the architecture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at a beautiful masjid like this, for example. And we praise the architect that what a beautiful job he has done with that architect of the masjid. So like that, when it comes to the architect of our deen, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Pak has put different things in different places. We just come out of the month of Ramadan. Now we are going into the days of Hajj. And very soon we'll find that the Hujjaj will also be leaving for Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us the tawfiq of going to the Mubarak place at the Mubarak time and performing the Hajj. So we find that these opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives are opportunities to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like how we find in a business, any person who's got a business, you'll find that there are two ways of increasing the bottom line. Bottom line meaning the net profit after tax figure. There are two ways of improving it. But one way that we all concentrate on and most of us focus on is we try and increase income. We all try and increase how we can increase the revenue in our business. So the month of Ramadan coming, the days of Hajj coming, they are like the top figure. How we can increase our revenue, how we can do more, how we can earn more sawab. But very few people look at below that to see how we can decrease expenses. When we decrease expenses also, this is another method of increasing the bottom line. This is another method of increasing the net profit. So another way of us progressing is looking to see within ourselves that how much are we cutting ourselves off from guna? How much are we cutting ourselves off from those things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So at the end we can get much more. So this moments and this times are a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was a constant concern. Very briefly, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was about to pass away, we know he got stabbed. It's a long incident. It comes in Bukhari Sharif. But at that moment when he was now in his final terminal illness and people were coming to visit him, there was a young boy that came and he praised Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He gave him beautiful praises. And from amongst the praises, he said, "Abshir ya Amir al-Mu'mineen bi Bushra Allah min suhbati Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam muqaddamun fil Islam." That glad tidings be to you, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, that you had the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, you had the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You had the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You were from amongst the early people of Islam. Then he explains to him, "Thumma shahadatun," you've got shahadat. "Thumma wulita fa'adalta," before you got shahadat, you were appointed as the Amir al-Mu'mineen, and you were a just ruler. We all know that you were a very just person. So that is also to your credit. Now after praising him so much, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he replies, "Wadidtu anna dhalika li kafaf." That I just desire that whatever I have done, whatever accolades I have got, whatever merits I have got to my name, I just wish that I can break even on the day of Qiyamah. So this was the thinking of Sahaba. They were not at ease with whatever they have earned. Constantly they would see and they would introspect and see that what is my ta'alluq, what is my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, this part of gaining this ta'alluq and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to see what elements and what qualities we need to bring into our life so that we can enhance that ta'alluq that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can enhance that ability of not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will also help us get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find that in the month of Ramadan, then there were certain things that were put in place. The ayat of the Quran which I read in khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing, "أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ," that the ulama of the Bani Israel, that they knew 100% that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the Nabi. They knew 100%, but they didn't want to accept. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, Allah Pak is explaining to them, giving them a prescription. When somebody gets sick and a doctor gives prescription, for example, a person has got malaria, then that prescription also, there is a link between what is being prescribed and the sickness. For example, the person, the doctor won't give him something now to treat acne or to treat a foot pain, but he'll give him something that will treat that sickness that he's having. So here Allah Pak is giving a prescription for this qualities. There's two qualities that this ulama of the Bani Israel had. One quality they had was they loved their position. They had a position amongst the people, they had a status, they had recognition. They didn't want to lose that. If they were to accept Islam now, immediately that recognition and that position that we are holding, that position will be lost. So they didn't want to lose that position, they didn't want to lose their recognition. And the next thing that they didn't want to lose is the perks that were coming with that position. So that wealth also they didn't want to lose. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prescribing to these ulama, and it's also a prescription for us, then bring two things in your life. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Then bring patience in your life, bring control in your life. And the next thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, bring salat. Now we might ask, what is the link between the love of position, the love of wealth, and sabr and salat? And what is the link between these two things within themselves? The first thing ulama explain is that when a person has got sabr in his life, he has got control in his life. And this is one of the things that the month of Ramadan is teaching us control. Very simply, is that when a person has got sabr in his life, he is tempted to do certain things, but he is controlling himself. And two things ulama tell us, that these two things if you get control of, not only will they help us in every avenue of our life, every walk of our life, it will help us as far as our deen is concerned, it will help us as far as our dunya is concerned. And these two things, one is quwwati shahwiya and quwwati ghadabiya. A person gets control, he learns to bring sabr in his life, as far as his desires are concerned, that desire for instant gratification. Quwwat-e shahwiya. I want to have this thing and I want to have it now. I want it and I must have it now. This hadith which we said in the khutbah, which I mentioned in the khutbah, there was a sahabi by the name of Ashaj Abdul Qais. This sahabi, he came with his clan, with his people. They came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Sharif. Now you can imagine, you can well imagine that excitement, that happiness. When we go to Medina Sharif, how excited we are to be there. We are all excited naturally that we are going to the Mubarak land, the Mubarak city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they, can you imagine their excitement they must have had when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was alive at that time. What excitement traveling from so far to come and see him. So when they came there, naturally his clan, his people, they rushed into the masjid to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't wait. But this Ashaj, what he did was he saw that the animals were left behind outside. He went and he gathered all the animals. He tied them up nicely. He went and wore a new pair of clothes, a clean pair of clothes. He saw that he was looking good, presentable. And then he went and presented himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw him coming. He called him and he brought him closer and he made him sit close to him. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, إِنَّ فِيكَ خَصْلَتَيْنِ. You got two qualities in you. يُحِبُّهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these two qualities you got in you. The first is al-hilmu. The one is you are very tolerant. You are very patient. You don't lose yourself. You didn't lose yourself. You didn't get carried away. That you wanted it immediately, you wanted to come immediately, you held yourself back, you looked to see what was the better thing to do, wal anat, and you've got forbearance in you, you've got that control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this. So the month of Ramadan was teaching us that bring this control in your life as far as these two things are concerned. One is that instant gratification. When a person wants something and he wants it now, sometimes he doesn't have control. And when we don't have that control, it can be very dangerous. Firstly, from our dunyawi point of view, there was a friend of ours, that you look at his balance sheet and you'll see that he got so many vehicles there under his assets that you might even think that this person is a car dealer. And every car that he's got there is like an exotic car. But yet all of them are financed through the bank. So when he's asked that why is it so that you have so many cars and all financed by the bank, he said, this is my weakness. That when I see a car, I like it, I just buy it. I don't have that control. Then you'll find a person unnecessarily getting involved in haram, unnecessarily getting himself involved in installments that he can't afford. And it becomes a big problem for him. One person recently mentioned that he was going in Dubai via the Dubai airport, and his wife was there with him, and she saw one jewelry set that she liked. It was approximately about $70,000. And on the spur of the moment, he just decided to buy. No control, no thinking, just bought it. And after he bought it with his credit card, then he realized that I spent over ₹1 million on a jewelry set. So this is something that a person doesn't have control. Instantly he'll want to do things. And there can be more dangerous things when a person doesn't have control. He doesn't have control of his shahwat. He can get involved in zina. He can get involved in riba. He can get involved in things that don't benefit him. And how else this thing can help us when a person has got control of his desires, that instant gratification? A person wants to diet, for example. And now he's got control in himself. It becomes very, very easy to diet. But a man who's starting dieting and he wants to diet but he's got no control, that diet also will become so difficult for him. Anything he sees in front of him, he wants it. There's an incident, as Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahab, Damat Barakatuh, mentions. He said that there's a friend of his that was in hospital. And when he was in hospital, the doctors were treating him for diabetes. And they, whatever medication they were administering and giving him, they was finding that the sugar levels were not dropping as much as they expected. And it was surprising the doctors, because they're giving him the best medication and when they're looking at his sugar levels, it's still not coming down. So after a few days, when the nurses were changing the sheets, they found that Cadbury slab wrappers were lying under the sheets. Cadbury slab wrappers. So they asked the chacha, what is happening? He said, this is my weakness. I can't do without my Cadbury slabs. So one side, the doctors are treating him for diabetes and trying to bring his sugar. On the other side, in the quiet, he's going under the blanket and he's eating his slabs. So this is when a person doesn't have control, then it doesn't matter what situation is, it can be very dangerous. And the next thing, control that we are taught to bring in our life, is control of ghadabiyya, control of anger. These two things we find in the month of Ramadan, that we are taught that control this anger, control this desire. These things were halal for you. That food was halal for you. That wife was halal for you. That drink was halal for you. But even in that halal, you were taught to restrain. So therefore that nuskha, that prescription to Bani Israel, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sabr and salah. If you have that patience in you, if you have that deliberation in you, if you're thoughtful about what you do, you'll realize that that position is not everything. That perks you are getting is not everything. There's more to it than that. Therefore bring the sabr in your life. And when a person has got sabr in his life, he will realize, for example, if he sees a woman, he realizes, I'm not supposed to be looking, he'll contain himself, he'll control himself. And the next thing is, would salah. Why would salah? When a person, the moment he starts salah, for example, he might be reading salah on the top of a mountain, in front of him there may be the best scene in the world. There may be the ocean, there may be rivers, there may be greenery, there may be birds, there can be what there, but when the person starts his salah, then automatically his focus has to go down, his concentration has to go somewhere else, his thoughts have to go somewhere else. So this person is taught to control himself. So when a person has got this control in himself, now for him to control himself outside salah becomes easy. So this is that mashq, this is that practice that a person is taught, and we are taught that bring this practice into your life. And the next thing is quwwati ghadabiyya, that this can be a very, very weak point of a man, and it can be a very strong point in a man, that a person is able to control his anger. How often you find a man just loses himself, and the three talaqs is gone, and then now there's irreparable damage done. Person loses himself and he pulls out his firearm and he fires and he kills some close family members, some friend, or somebody that he never even thought he would shoot in his life. But because of those moments of anger, he lost himself. He didn't have that control, so he has lost it. And to such an extent that sometimes, even when it comes to person's own wife also, he doesn't realize that this woman, Allah Pak, has given her certain weaknesses. My Ustad so nicely, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, in the way he says it also, it may sound a little bit funny, but there's a lot of meaning to it. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a woman two bob short. That's what he said. Allah Pak has made her two bob short, and if you want to get full change from her, then you must be two bob short. So you understand that she'll have her weaknesses. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a woman that was crying. She had lost her child, her baby, and she was at the qabr, and she was crying and she was wailing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had seen her and he tried to pacify her. So he said, ittaqillaha wasbiri, that bring this taqwa in your life, bring this control in your life, bring patience, have some patience. So the moment she heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, she didn't know who it was. She was in that emotional state. She was a stranger. She wasn't the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. She wasn't some family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. She was a strange woman, but she was in an emotional state. And in that emotional state, she had replied, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي, that move away from me, get away from me, because you haven't been afflicted with what I have been afflicted. In other words, you don't know what I'm going through. Like how people say, you don't know what I'm experiencing. If you only knew what I'm going through, then you would have also behaved in this manner. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately making riayat, considering the emotional state of this woman, he could have said many things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could have said many things to her. He could have said that I'm the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you answer back? How can you ask me to move away? You know, this is a statement, an act of kufr. He could have said so many things. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say anything. He just moved away. Teaching us that at times you'll have to move away. You'll have to just go away. You'll have to see the scenario. You'll have to see the situation. You'll have to have that control in your life and you'll go away. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he went away. Then sahaba and other people told her that, you know who you said these words to. She said, no. Said, you have said this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This worried her so much, it created so much of worry in her, that she rushed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to apologize profusely. That I didn't realize that this was you. And at that moment, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam mentioned to her, as-sabru inda sadmatil ula, that true patience is that initial stage when something happens, when you're afflicted with something, when you're at that moment when you want to react, and you are desirous of reacting, you want to swear that person that has done something foolish on the road, you want to hit that person that has done something wrong. At that initial moment, you hold yourself back. This is what true sabr is. This is what sabr is all about. So this is what we have to inculcate and bring in our. Recently, there was a situation where there was a great-grandfather. Not a grandfather, great-grandfather. And in his anger, he had divorced his wife. Now, she was the great-grandmother. Can you imagine that whole family, and he's given her three talaqs. Now, that whole family coming down, what pain. These people were looked up to, everyone had love for them, that these are our great-grandparents, and everyone had muhabbat for them. And now they had been irreparably divorced, irrevocably divorced. So now what do you do in a situation like that? So the whole family suffers. Why? One person, after so many years of marriage, he didn't know how to control himself. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told the Sahabi Ashad ibn Abdul Qais that you've got these qualities in you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in another hadith he mentioned, Al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan wal-anatu min Allah. That when a person rushes and he does things, remember that he's from shaitan. And the West and the people of the world, they understand that this is a weak point in a man. When he sees something, he wants it now. Therefore you'll find many, many supermarkets these days, many, many places, that when you are walking through the, just to pay also, now they've got aisles, and they'll display things there that will catch your attention. They'll put chocolates there, they'll put other things there that appeal to a man. So as he's going, automatically he wants to grab one or two of these things. They know that insan, Hazrat Insan is weak. So now when he's walking through the airports also, they put things that will catch his attention. He's walking through just to go to the cashier, they put things to catch, because this is the weakness of insan. He wants it and he wants it now. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling, remember, al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan, you rush to do something. How often you hear a person, a youngster, that his parents may have advised him against getting married to a certain girl. But he just wanted to get married to her and he was not interested in what his senior said. Hazrat Mullah Ashali Tanvi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned a beautiful thing. He said that when a senior, an elder, perhaps it's the father, perhaps it's an uncle, perhaps it's an alim, some senior person is advising the young man about doing something that is permissible. So there may be two or three options, but he's advising him to take this option, take option A. And this person goes against that advice, Hazrat Mullah Tanvi Sahib rahmatullahi is saying that it's very likely that this person will fail in whichever way he has taken, because he didn't take the advice of his seniors. So when it comes to marriage also, how often you'll find that a person just rushes into getting married and later on he'll realize that I should have taken the advice of my senior. Recently there was a dispute, a family dispute between two families. And perhaps, without exaggeration, maybe over 100 million was spent in legal fees. And those both parties had come to our offices for arbitration. And alhamdulillah that matter happened to get, for that one particular company happened to be solved. But as they were leaving, they both were in a good mood. Both parties, both representatives of both families were there. And both of them were telling me that 30 years ago, our father, one from the one family mentioned that our father told us that don't go into partnership because the family is very big now. It is likely that you're going to get into some problems and some trouble. It's very hard to maintain. But they said, we were young at that time when we went into this partnership. We thought that our father didn't know any better. And the other family representative is also telling me that our father also warned us that don't go into partnership. After 30 years, we've seen the hikmat of what advice our father had given us. After 30 years, we've seen the beauty and advice. So this is what Hazrat Mullah Tanvi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi is saying, to take the advice of the seniors because they've got that level of experience. So anyway, the West have come to know that this is a weakness of man. Therefore, you'll find very often in a contract, a person is told that, for example, today is Friday, if you sign this contract before 4 o'clock today, then you'll get a 10% discount on the deal. Because they know that Hazrat Insan's weakness, he'll lose concentration, he won't be able to focus. But an intelligent man will reply and say that I won't sign it today, I'll sign it when I'm ready to sign it, and I'll still take my 10%. But this is our weakness, that we want to do it and we want to do it now. So therefore this Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is explaining that this quality is such an important quality, that bring this quality of control in your life. So these two things were taught to us in the month of Ramadan, and these two things we got to carry it outside the month of Ramadan. After all, these two things are the things that will help a person progress. Now when it comes to controlling himself as far as his desires are concerned, maybe it is at the time of Fajr Salah, for example, it is ice cold. Person doesn't want to get out, but he's got that control over himself. He's methodical, he's logical in his thinking. He understands that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore he'll move in that direction. Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in were extremely, extremely honest. Extremely honest in whatever they did. There was a woman from the Juhayna tribe. This woman, she had committed zina. So she came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was pregnant now with the zina. So she came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presenting herself. She said, Asabdul had, fa'aqimhu alayya. O Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, I committed zina and you instill, you execute that punishment upon me. Now that punishment was no small punishment. To be stoned to death is not a small thing. It is not a small thing, it is a very serious thing. Can you imagine? But she came and told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is the mistake I made. Well, no, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, institute that had upon me. Because they were constantly thinking that what is my ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'll have to face him one day. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu explains that one battle that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam has sent us out. He sent us out to a certain battle, And in that battle, it was very, very difficult. We've been jolted from side to side. So what we had done is some of us, we had fled from the battle. And now when we fled from the battle, we realized that this was a very, very serious crime. Now it was worrying us, it was pricking us, that we have committed a serious crime, what to do? So we made mashura that let us be honest about ourselves. Let us be genuine about ourselves. Let us present ourselves to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if there's forgiveness for us, there's forgiveness for us. If there's no forgiveness for us, there's no forgiveness. But from our side, let us be honest. So before Fajr namaz, they were already waiting by the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had come out, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had asked that, who is this? So immediately, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was the son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He could have polished up, he could have given a beautiful introduction, he could have explained so many things, that this battle was a very difficult battle, we were suffering, it was hard, there was not much we could do. There was many things he could have polished and said. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to know who it was, he replied with two words. He said, نَحْنُ الْفَرَّارُونَ. We are the people that fled from the battle. Nothing, we are not making up any stories of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, we are not making up any, this is who we are. We have fled from the battle. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got so happy, that this is the Sahaba. May Allah Pak make us like them. He went closer to them and he said, Bal antumul akkarun. You are not people that have fled from the battle. You have actually came to get prepared and to prepare yourselves to go out again. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, Ana fiatukum wa ana fiatul muslimin. That I am the panahaga, I am the markaz, I am the place of refuge for the believers, I am the place of refuge for you. So this was the qualities of Sahaba. They had these beautiful qualities in them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah Pak also give us these qualities. That to bring and have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the thing that is ultimate towards us, so that eventually when life comes towards the ending and the last moments of the life, then it can be the best moments of our life. So therefore one poet, I'll terminate on this so beautifully, he mentioned, then he said, لَيْتَكَ تَرُضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how nice it will be, how beautiful it would be. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that despite everyone being angry with me, Allah, if you are happy with me, what a happiness that will be. Then he said, لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُوا وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرَةٌ. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how nice it would be if my relationship with you was sweet. My relationship with you was beautiful, despite life being miserable, despite life being bitter. But my relationship with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be sweet. لَيْتَ الَّذِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ عَامِرُ وَبَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how nice it would be if my relationship with you is populated, my relationship with you is strong, despite my relationship with the rest of the world being desolate. Despite my relationship with the world, I have no relationship with the world. How nice if it would be if my relationship with you is strong. And then he goes on to say, إِذَا صَحَّ مِنْكَ الْوُدُّ فَالْكُلُّ هَيِّنٌ. وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, if the true love of yours is realized, then every single thing will become easy. If I got that real love for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single thing will become easy. وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ. After all, everything that is above the sand is nothing but sand. Everything above the sand is nothing but sand. Real connection and real taluk of Allah is only with you. Therefore, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would say that Allahu bas baqi hawas. That the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything. Everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing but a mirage, nothing but a image, nothing but a memory that one can recall, recollect of his youth, recollect of the day he got married, recollect of the happy moments. There are nothing but memories now. Everything is a memory. The real thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of correcting our taluk and our relationship with him. May Allah give us the tawfiq of bringing these two qualities in our life. Al-hilmu wal-anad, that forbearance, that tolerance, that ability to control that desire for instant gratification, that ability to control that anger that we have in us. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.